My name is Alec and I'm 26 years old. I grew up in Hedge End, just outside Southampton, where my mum worked as a healthcare assistant at Southampton General Hospital. She would come home from her shifts with stories that stayed with me. The patient who thanked her for taking 5 minutes to listen, the colleague who covered an extra ward because they were understaffed, the small moments of care that made the difference between a good day and a terrible one for someone who was frightened and far from home. My younger sister has type 1 diabetes, and I watched the NHS nurses manage her care with a combination of technical skill and human kindness that I wanted to learn. After finishing my A-levels at Wildon School, I worked for 3 years as a care assistant in local nursing homes, saving money and gaining experience. I wanted to become a nurse. It seemed like the most useful thing I could do with my life. In 2022, I applied to the University of Southampton's nursing program. I met all the academic requirements. My grades were strong, my experience was relevant. My personal statement was honest about why I wanted to do this work. 3 weeks after I submitted my application, I received a letter telling me that they had reduced places by 30% due to funding constraints from Health Education England. They were sorry, they said. They encouraged me to try again the following year. I spent that year working as a care assistant at a private nursing home in Eastleigh. I applied to Portsmouth University for their 2023 intake. The response was almost identical. Same regretful tone, same explanation. Health Education. England's budget had been cut and they could not fund as many nursing students as they had the year before. There is no funding, the admissions coordinator told me over the phone. The money simply is not there. It sounded reasonable. I accepted it. Everyone I spoke to accepted it. The government had to make difficult choices and training nurses was expensive. I understood. I spent another year working in healthcare, this time at Countess Mountbatten House Hospice. I learned more about end-of-life care, about the way skilled nursing can ease suffering and preserve dignity even when there is no cure to offer. I saved more money and applied again in 2024, this time only to Southampton because it was close to home and I had heard good things about their program. This time, I was invited to an interview. The admissions tutor explained that Health Education England's budget had been capped by Treasury spending limits. They were treating nurse training as a cost rather than an investment, she said, and the numbers they could fund had been set in Westminster without reference to how many people wanted to train or how many nurses the local hospitals needed. We have the capacity to teach more students, but she told me, but we cannot afford to fill the training places. 2 weeks later, I was walking past the university's health sciences building on my way to work. It was a Wednesday afternoon, what should have been peak teaching hours. I noticed that entire lecture theatres were sitting empty. I could see through the windows, rows of seats, projection screens, teaching equipment, all unused. I asked the security guard at the entrance about it. He had been working there for 8 years, he said, and he had watched 2 floors of the nursing school remain closed since 2023. They cannot afford to fill the training places, Bunny told me, repeating almost the same words I had heard from the admissions tutor. That weekend, I was shopping at the Tesco on Portswood Road when I got talking to 3 women in the queue ahead of me. They were all qualified nurses who had moved to Southampton from overseas, and they were working shelf-stacking jobs because the NHS visa sponsorship process had stalled due to budget restrictions. One of them, Maria, had been a cardiac nurse in Portugal. Another, Fatima, had managed an intensive care unit in Nigeria. They were all living in shared accommodation in Shirley, all overqualified for the work they were doing, all waiting for the NHS to process their applications so they could do the work they had trained for. There is no money in the system, Maria said. They told us to wait. I walked home that evening thinking about what I had seen, the empty lecture theatres, the qualified nurses stacking shelves, the admissions tutor, who said they had capacity but not funding. The security guard who had watched 2 floors of a nursing school sit unused for 1.5 years. If the people existed, and the building existed, and the teaching staff existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints the pounds and issues the currency was telling me it could not find enough of them to connect the people who wanted to train with the hospitals that needed nurses. But currency is not a scarce natural resource. It is created when the government spends it into existence. The question was never whether the pounds existed. The question was whether the people, the skills, the classrooms, and the need existed. They did, all of them. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. the Treasury that sets the budgets for Health Education England chose not to fund the training places that would have connected the people standing ready to learn with the wards that needed them. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The same logic as a household saying we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The Treasury does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still working as a care assistant, still watching. I know this is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where qualified people and urgent needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never the constraint. The choice to keep it locked was.
What Alec experienced has a name, fake experts. This technique relies on citing authorities who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it real. Think of tobacco companies in the 1950s, citing doctors who endorsed smoking, or pharmaceutical companies funding studies that downplayed side effects. The appearance of expertise was used to legitimize conclusions that served particular interests, not scientific truth. In Alec's story, every time someone said there is no money, they were quoting economists or policy advisors who treat government budgets like household budgets. They present this analogy as economic common sense, never acknowledging that a currency issuer operates by completely different rules than a currency user. When the admissions tutor explained that Treasury spending limits had capped nurse training, she was repeating the logic of officials who believe the government must find pounds before it spends them. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. In Southampton Test, those resources were sitting idle. The empty lecture theatres, the qualified nurses stacking shelves, the people who wanted to train but could not get places. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Southampton Test ranks 121 out of 543 English constituencies in deprivation, placing it in decile 3, English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 485 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, Isard, England and Wales. Total grants received were £2.8 million, 360 giving grant nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.